Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday morning edition of the $12 Radio Show. My name is David Bublitz. It is it's a Tuesday is what we've got going here, actually. Tuesday morning edition, the 27th of September, 2016, episode number 149, and 89 days left until Christmas. So thanks for tuning in here to the show, which is brought to you, as always, here from the studios at Ramblewood, which is just on the northwest corner of City Park. So if you're thinking about making a trip, don't come to Ramblewood necessarily. Come to Fort Collins. That you can do. You come to Colorado. Take the trip. Do the skiing. Drink the beer. Smoke the pot. But, you know, don't stay. And don't stop by Ramblewood. No. I hope you guys are doing good today. Hold on a second. Let me make sure that I've got this right here. We do have a guest today, so please, if you were thinking about calling, today would be a good day to join the conversation. We've got a very cool guy. He's a photographer who has photographed some of the most iconic personalities in entertainment and just general photography in time of recent memory. He's been doing it for about 35 or 40 years. It wasn't like doing a research project for this interview necessarily, but Moses Street will be our guest today here on the show. 646-564-9650 is our number to call. Don't forget, it's Moses Street today, Tuesday. Tomorrow, it's comedian, mental health activist, comedian Vincent Vigil. And Friday, it's the lovely and talented Tim Burns. As I've mentioned before, Sunday, the show is going. We're going to go wrap this up on Friday. There's no more daily shows. Sunday, we go to a once weekly Sunday program. Today, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, 10 o'clock, as it always has been. And then Sunday at 4 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. Don't worry. There won't be a quiz. We'll remind you from time to time. I won't bang you over the head with it. There's no we here in team. Here, the massive staff of assistants and production consultants here at the $12 Radio Show, there is a reason that we never hear from them, because they're not here. So when I'm talking, having a conversation with someone here, and it sounds like I'm talking to someone who's off mic, it's because there's no one there. It's me just having a little conversation with myself. It isn't really the voices in my head. Right off the top of the show, I'm looking outside the weather window here at Ramblewood, and I realize it's time for a drink. Not a morning person. Never have been a morning person. And I am doing this show today on fresh air, which is probably not a great idea. which really makes it a good idea that there is a guest in the studio today. So we'll have somebody. So Dave will have some company, you know, because if he doesn't, this show could ramble even more than it usually does. Oh, good Lord. Could that happen? Is that possible? Is that in the realm of possibility? Yeah, actually, it is. A little bit going on today. Today is National Registration Day, which is ironic because last night was the first of three presidential debates between Trump and Clinton. And, you know, of course, depending on who you like, your guy, your candidate, did the best. What I found was that it was just after all these months of fireworks of shooting back and forth, it seemed pretty tame. And I didn't watch much of it. I went to a movie yesterday. I just decided that I'd forgotten that it was on. And I'm usually pretty good, at least even if I might want to check it out. But at the very least, I'll be aware of it. And I forgot all about it. I went to a film yesterday. Somebody, a friend of mine, decided to buy, and I said, "Well, you can't turn that down." I came home, and that was already on. So it's kind of like driving by a car accident. You gotta slow down and at least look and see how things are turning out. But there were no fireworks. They hit their talking points. The only thing I tended to notice was the difference. Their styles became more concrete, and you became to realize, their mannerisms. Trump is an interrupter. You know, if you like him, that's fine. But he is. He's the one who's a little bit more passionate. Apparently is more comfortable speaking in front of a crowd, and he's working the crowd. Don't ask me who won. I if it was a boxing match, I would call it a draw, simply because it looked like that. And even more importantly than that, I don't care. I don't. I'm done talking about who I picked and why we should argue about politics because you've already made up your mind. They said there was some ridiculous amount, like 40% of America. It's a dead heat right now between Clinton and Trump. At like 42-41, Clinton leading with a 3 margin of error, and so a dead heat. That means it's 42-41. That means there's 17 to 20% of people out there who haven't made up their mind. This has been going on for a year and a half, and you haven't made up your mind. You need to right here for the most part. You know, there's people out there. I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't be allowed to vote if you're not able to make decisions. On your own, maybe you should only be allowed to vote on The Voice or America's Got Talent. That's just me. I'm not in charge, so you don't have to worry about any of this taking hold while I'm here. And then so there's going to be 3 debates. The next Clinton-Trump debate comes up October the 9th, and then tonight is the first, last, and only vice presidential campaign. Campaign debate between the two vice presidential nominees. And man, these two guys, you want to talk about lack of charisma. Wow. Just charismatically challenged. These guys are the answer to, you know, let's say you've got no Ambien in your medicine cabinet. It's just to tune into because just, wow. Mike Pence, not a fun guy, not myself, not particularly aligned with his brand of politics. Tim Kaine, on the other hand, another career politician. I probably align more closely with his politics, but both of them, neither one of them. It's like, so if anything happens to the number one person, here's number two. Yeah, okay, I understand why you're number two. Why I understand now why you're Miss Congeniality here in this battle for the top. That's just me. I don't know what to tell you. Major League Baseball yesterday and baseball, the Rockies, they didn't lose last night. It was so cool. They didn't play, you know. They didn't play. Nice lady. They didn't play. It was an off day of travel day. Tonight they're going to be in San Francisco playing the San Francisco Giants out there at AT&T Park. And then they're going to be playing out there tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday. And then coming up on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the 30th of September, the 1st and 2nd of October, Colorado will be playing Milwaukee. It'll be the home finale and the regular season finale. And they had an up and down season, the Rockies, but still kind of gets me when baseball wraps up. I've already said that before enough. So, you know, it's like, oh man, it's going to be Christmas tomorrow. That's kind of how it felt all of a sudden. You know, that we get that first rain that turns into snow. That's how I'm going to start to be. It's like, oh God, we're going to start hanging up Christmas stockings here. And I've seen a few Christmas ads on TV already. And I saw on the TV guide that they flash with Comcast on my screen, I saw National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is already being aired, and then some of the lower profile made for TV Christmas movies are already on the Lifetime network. And you know, I spend a lot of time watching the Golden Girls and Lifetime. But it seemed like an interesting point to make. Monday Night Football, the Falcons beat the Saints last night by a score of 45-32. Tomorrow night here in town, don't forget the Coors Lights CSU Football Coaches Show with Mike Bobo. It's every Wednesday. Excuse me, tomorrow night. I did say tomorrow. So every Wednesday at 7 o'clock out of the Foothills Fashion Mall at Potts at the Foothills Fashion Mall. I had a chance to go there yesterday. That's where I saw the movie and that I saw, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But if you live here in Fort Collins, every corner is being worked on. Every street is being torn up. They're basically reimagining the whole city. It's like a sequel. They're making a sequel to Fort Collins. They're rebooting the city. And It looks like it's going to take hold. It looks like they should be ready and beautiful and all set and ready to go in time for the beginning of the Christmas season. I would imagine they probably want to be done with everything by middle to end of October. So they're well in place and done in plenty of time for Thanksgiving. So that seems to make the most sense. And trust me, because I never make the most sense. gosh. NHL, in the NHL, I know it seems like a while here, but October the 15th is the season over. So just about 3 weeks away. You're going to get a chance to see the Colorado Avalanche play the Dallas Stars at home at the Pepsi Center. So I guess now wouldn't be a bad time to buy tickets if you're thinking about it. They've got a new head coach whose name is escaping me right now. I know that Monsieur Wah picked up his tent stakes and said, no more Kroenke brothers. He couldn't do it anymore, and I don't blame him. And then in the NBA, the Nuggets, they open their season just a little bit later. They're going to open up theirs October the 26th, and it'll be the Denver Nuggets at home. Both of these games are at home. The NBA and the Nuggets, it'll be Denver against the New Orleans Pelicans. I didn't realize that New Orleans had a large Pelican population. Apparently they do. Things made more sense way back when it used to be the New Orleans Jazz to Utah, and we're still the Jazz. It's just such an obvious thought, because when you think of the passion of jazz music, of course, you're thinking, aren't you? I am. The pulse-pounding rhythm of Mormons at work, orchestral, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Them Mormons know how to rock. That's what I'm trying to tell you right here. We're going to go ahead and take a break. It's about 10 seconds. First quarter. Today we'll get a chance to talk with our friend Moses. He's my friend already. I think when we're done, he's your friend as well. So we'll take the break. I got a couple of things to do and start with Moses whenever he gets through on the lines. And trust me, they're loaded. We're ready to talk to them. There's still room, though, for you to call in spite of that. I would appreciate if you would do that. It's okay if you listen to these archives, but it would be a good time to if you listen live, to pick up the phone at 6564-960. Give us a call out there. I'm going to take a quick break with Back in Black from AC/DC. My name is David Bublitz, and this is episode 149 of the 12-Hour Radio Show. in Black from AC/DC, David Bublitz with you here on the Tuesday morning edition of the $12 Radio Show. Thanks for tuning in to episode number 149. I'm looking over here and I realize I left them on hold here for almost a minute and a half. So hopefully, let's just go right to the phone. Mr. Moses Street, how are you this morning?
Hey, pretty good. I got my coffee IV plugged in, so I'll be good for the whole show.
I'm just jealous because you're a coffee guy. I'm a Mountain Dew guy, and I'm doing this on fresh air and water. So I feel bad because I looked over here and I do the show in 15-minute increments. So I threw in a song in the background and I realized this poor bastard. You don't strike me as an AC/DC fan.
No. I just lost half the audience.
No, that's I would rather have everybody be honest. It just seems like that's one of those things that kind of gets everybody's attention is all because it's not even one of my favorites. See, so now we lost the other half.
That's right. I'm more a Shell fan, which is an up and coming Fort Collins group that's just amazing.
What are they called?
Shell, S-H-E-L, which is the three sisters' first initials, I think they're going to hit big.
Well, that's cool. I'll have to keep my eye and ear out for them. That's one of the things that I wanted to do here along the way was I wanted eventually to get our comics to send in audio clips of their sets and also find some vintage comedy clips, but as well to find local artists that would be willing to send in songs that we could get a chance to play them in the background instead of just playing, you know, AC/DC or Prince or something more current or contemporary, kind of mix things up. It's kind of like you just go find when you find a local group like that.
Yeah, it's really neat.
You make a special connection as a fan.
Yes, and this is embarrassing. Somebody adamantly wants me to answer the door.
You go ahead and do that.
Okay.
You go ahead and do that.
I won't give up the phone.
You go ahead and do that. $12 Radio Show, Moses Street stepping away from the microphone here for a little bit. It's 10:25 here at this point here, Tuesday morning. Thanks for being here. It really is a pretty nice day, and today looks like it'll be a good day to get out and have your lunch outside. That's my personal prediction for you. You need to wrap up your lunch and
are you back, sir? It's a radio show. I'm doing an interview.
Oh, cool. Who's there?
It was a meter reader.
Oh, okay.
She's
got to be done.
She's reading. So there goes our covert basement pot factory.
What? So that's not like code for anything dirty? She's reading your meter? That's not code for anything? She's actually just there reading your meter. Because everything is covert for a guy. What are you doing right now? I'm washing my clothes. Oh, you're washing your clothes, are you? Oh, I like the spin cycle, too. Yeah, I like making that baby work.
That's right. Yeah, she's not supposed to come by till 1, so I was kind of caught off guard.
Oh, don't feel bad. I had to do a complete restart. I was in the middle of doing it, and it's one thing when I'm talking to you. It's like, okay, you go ahead and do what you need to do, and I'll go ahead and fill some time here. But I had somebody bang on my door, and it wasn't a knock. It was a bang. It sounded like the DEA. You know, and suddenly I'm hiding, you know, I feel like I should be hiding stuff. I don't do drugs, and most of them are legal now here in Colorado.
Right.
But that knock, it was one of these, oh, my God, who have I pissed off? And it turned out it was a friend of mine who was taking me to, we were going to go to a movie yesterday afternoon. Are you a Western fan?
Yeah. Are you coming tonight to the Grant McIntosh Go to the Magnificent Seven movie? Or did you already go?
No, you know, see, I'm out of the loop. I never find out about this stuff. For those of you listening to the show here, Grant McIntosh is a wonderful singer and musician.
He is one of Colorado's best kept secrets. His voice, man, that guy, it's old country, but that guy's voice rivals anybody you've ever heard singing.
If you like the real stuff, if you like real authentic American roots music and real authentic country, then this is your guy. I gave him what I thought was the ultimate compliment. I hate country music. I hate it almost as much as I hate talking about politics, but I really enjoy it.
It's rare for me to get moved by a guy singer, you know, and this guy will be singing, you know, some tune from the 30s, 40s, and you just get riveted. He is truly amazing, and he was a well-known Canadian performer until he moved down here. So,
yeah, wonderful guy. So where's he going to be performing at tonight?
No, he is trying to get movie night established with everybody who follows
him. Movie night, that's right. You said that part already. That's right. So you guys are probably I'm in Fort Collins. You're down in Loveland. You're going to try and go over to the Metrolux probably.
Yeah.
The friend of mine was buying, so in a visual impairment, I don't see out of my right eye. So whenever people talk about 3D, it just makes me angry because it's one of God's cruel little tricks. It's just irritating. Not life or death, but you know, 3D movies is like, I feel like I'm a little kid. I'd like to do that. But so we're buying our tickets, and Michael, the guy that I'm with, buys tickets for XD. So it's in 70 millimeter and digital sound. So you're hearing you hear the dialogue coming out of the front speakers, you hear the sound of horses in the back, and you're just enveloped in the sound. And I think I remember hearing you say that you saw The Hateful Eight last Christmas.
Yes, at one of the special film showings. It was amazing.
The road show sounded cool, and the movie, you know, I didn't think was as cool as it could have been, but it still got Samuel L. Jackson, and he's actually in a movie that you want to see because, you know, Morgan Freeman is in every movie made. I don't know if you knew that or not, but the ones that he turns down go to either Michael Caine or Samuel L. Jackson. One of those three things.
That's right.
I don't know why, but that apparently is part of the requirement. Well, keep me posted on the next one, because if I could get down there, I think I'd almost go see that again.
Oh yeah.
This one.
And at least the trailers on the Magnificent Seven look really good, but that would be a perfect segue because. Part of the reason we're talking is October 3rd, which is a Monday. I'm going to be up in Estes Park at the Estes Park Library, which, of course, I don't have the address, but it's when you're going into town, it's on the right-hand side and pretty obvious. And it's a storytelling thing. And I don't know why, but over my photo career, I have photographed and met a ton of celebrities. And so they invited me up to tell celebrity stories that have not been on E!
Well, Well, you know why? Because yours are actual stories. You're not just telling sound bites.
I'm
just taking a shot at E. I've had a chance to see, you and I are both friends on Facebook, and I've had a chance to see some of the pictures that you've posted up there of your work, and some of them are just really cool. There were two that stood out. One was a shot of Bryan Cranston, who I'm a fan of, big fan of.
Yes.
And then the other one, it was not, you looked at the picture and it did not immediately strike you as, oh my God, that's Bryan Cranston. It was such a great shot and you caught him in such a unique light for me that it took a second for it to sink in. That one was cool. And then the other one was Tom Hanks. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to tell me that Tom Hanks was an asshole to work with. Can you do that for me? Because he's so perfect.
He was so bad. I took three shots and walked out on him.
He was that nice, huh? Yeah.
No, you know what was so cool is that he's just a natural storyteller. He just in conversation, he just tells stories nonstop. You know. And it's one, you know, when people are working, they're on their best behavior. So, and in truth, most of the photos of the big names was being like an event photographer, and so it's a fairly, when you're photographing somebody, it's pretty fast, and sometimes you get to hang and chat, and other times you don't. But he tells stories over and over, and really good, and way better than when he's on talk shows, because those are, to me, always kind of stilted. But when he's telling these stories, I mean, he does the different characters in his stories, the accents, everything. It's really cool.
Oh, people forget. I mean, you know, how versatile an actor and performer that he is. You're talking about the accents. There was a movie that he made that kind of came and went in a hurry, where he was playing an immigrant that was denied status back into his country, and he was trapped at an airport called The Terminal.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw. Okay, yeah, right. Anyway, so it was kind of this Russian, Slavic, Croatian accent, but it was when stars can't necessarily do accents without people wondering, because you know what they sound like. You almost need that anonymity to be able to pull off. But you know, the second that they begin to speak, it was immediate, and you just got sucked into that. You just actually, to me, gave me a great idea for a show for one of the far-reaching cable channels. VH1 did it with singers and songwriters. Somebody should do that with actors and directors and have.
Oh, that would be neat. Yeah, for me too. Especially the directors are always my favorite, because they're like real people, and they are driven, you know, with their ideas, and so the conversations are like always good. Like, I got to spend, maybe people will know Richard Linklater or Ladder.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, he's one of the most innovative filmmakers out there. And I got to hang out with him for about an hour. And all we talked about was raising children, because his kids were young at that time. And mine were about, quite a bit older. But still, you have all that parental experience.
Well, you know, for all the innovation of his films and the, you know, the independent, non-mainstream nature of his films, he's a name director. You'll go and you'll see a Spielberg film, regardless of who's in it. You'll go and you'll see a Wes Anderson film, because he's directing it. You know what I mean? Spielberg directed it, Wes Anderson. And I think Linklater is the same way. It doesn't even matter what the film is necessarily. It's like he's had such an intriguing body of work that you're, well, okay, I'm along for the ride.
Yeah,
see, now, see, now, See, now it's my turn to do this, okay? Hold on 1 second. I don't want to yell into the microphone.
Come on in. The door is open.
There, see?
That's a nice which could take us back to the my interruption with somebody at the door was that it's one of the major problems since they legalized pot, which you kind of touched on, that is just not being talked about, and I think we need to talk about it here, is that because so much is legal now, you know, that your doctors can give you Oxycontin and all that kind of stuff, which is basically time-release heroin. And so when somebody knocks at your door, you know, you instantly, from the past, you flush everything down the toilet. And then you're sitting there going, that was legal. That was legal stuff.
Wait a minute. For God's sakes, I think that was ibuprofen. I think I just flushed on the toilet, for crying out loud. Yeah,
I know.
So for you it was the meter reader. For me it was the this kid that were at Ramblewood where I live. Every time he comes out here for technical stuff, maintenance stuff, he's got a great knock. I mean, it sounds like he has a battering ram that's going to come after he knocks. And apparently, he dialed it down a notch. I got these really annoying curtains that go out towards the patio, and you can. And when I say patio, that's really a stretch on that word. But you can see the dog park. And have you seen these curtains where they're plastic strips? And there's like a dozen of them. And then you pull them across, and it's just a matter of time before each one of them falls off.
Yeah.
You see, So anyway, I've lost two of them, and they're going to come and replace them. So at least now I know that. Hey, and you know what's really terrible is this guy comes up every time I see him here, because it's a big apartment complex. Every time I see him, it's, hey, Dave, how you doing? Hey, how's the comedy? How's it going? And all I can think of is, hey – You person from Ramblewood, how are you? I hate that feeling. It's like, you know the face, you know where you know him from, but for fuck's sake, you can't remember the name. I've gotten better about just coming clean with people and just saying, we know each other, but I'm drawing a blank. You got to help me.
Yes, and it's one of the few perks of getting old is you're in your brain, you're still 30, you know, but you can use the old age thing on that is I know you really, really well, but my brain just, you know, my brain is so befuddled, I can't even remember where they buried me last week.
people just I don't know what it is for me, they just give me this look like, I don't know, kind of a pat on the head like I'm special or something. It's like, hey, here's a nickel, go play in the street type of thing. But
yeah.
my moments where I will because I stop and stammer as a matter of my speech pattern to begin with. But there'll be times where I'll just stop, and it'll be like I lose my place in the middle of a sentence. And, you know, doing stand-up comedy, not a great habit or trait to have. That's one of the things and one of the fears that kept on stage for 3 years. And that's why that show at the Rialto is either going to be a really nice
show. Oh, yeah.
Or people are going to be really glad that their money's going towards charity. Some of it.
There's at least that.
They'll say, well, I tried a little bit of a different approach. You generally have when you go to a concert, you've been to enough shows. It's a two-performer program where you've got a half-hour opening act generally, maybe 25 minutes or so, and then the headliner will come out for at least an hour. So I wasn't sure how much time I could cover because I haven't had the opportunity that much to do a whole 45 minutes. I have three people going up before me. They're all real. What's
that? I was gonna say that your out could be if you just had the first guy and then you're the headliner, of course, that if it starts bombing, you can go, there was a mistake on the program. I'm not the headliner. That was the guy before me.
I don't know how this poster happened. I have no idea that they gave you the impression. Oh, so then I get the poster back, the first draft of it. And I told him, I said, you know, I want something different. Shake it up a little bit, because generally all I'd gotten in the past was black and white and just real straightforward graphics with just the information.
Right.
I like something a little bit better. So I get this really cool thing back, and it's black, a black setting or dark blue setting. I couldn't really tell. And then, you know, Booblitz is in great big print. He found the Rialto logo, and but he did this weird thing where he's only showing half of my face, kind of caught in a shadow, which makes an interesting shot to have as a character shot in the middle of a collection of work, but not necessarily eye catching. That looks hilarious.
What could be a public service is he felt the public could only handle half of your face at a time.
The truth? You can't handle the truth. But all I could think of was is that if all you can go for is half, just run nothing. Just run. Don't run a picture at all. Hey, I've got to straighten out some notes. So can you sit around for 90 seconds while I put in a musical break here and straighten my notes out? Okay.
What day is your show?
Show is going to be that's the only bad part. It's a Thursday, November the 10th, and at the Rialto, and it's an early showtime at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And my favorite part of it is a couple of bucks from each ticket go to the Fort Collins Rescue Mission. And you and I have we've already compared notes on different bumps in each of our lives along the way, and one of mine was being at a point where I had to stay there for a little while because that's where life had taken me. So I it was one of those you should pay forward, but you still have to remember to pay back, I think. You gotta make sure that building is still open for the next schmuck that gets thrown
That's
out.
That's right. Well, I have a lot of associates that wish I would pay them back. They're called bill collectors.
Oh, you too, huh? You know what? They were talking about Donald Trump and all and his three separate bankruptcies. But I got news for you. I've gone bankrupt before. And I'm not embarrassed. I mean, I'm not. Luckily, I'm not like Donald. I haven't done it six times. hey, I'm gonna go ahead here and put this in. This might be a little bit more up your alley. This is a B-side from 1958. It's from Chuck Berry. It's called "Come On." My name is David Boobles with our guest. With our guest Moses Street here on a Tuesday morning in episode number 149. We'll be back in a bit here on the $12 Radio Show.
Everything is wrong since me and my baby parted. All day long I'm walking because I couldn't get my car started. Laid off from my job and I came for to check it. I wish somebody'd come along and run into it and wreck it. Come on, since my baby parted, come on. I wish somebody'd come along and run into it and wreck it. Everything is wrong since I've been without you. Every night I lay awake thinking about you. Every time the phone rings, sounds like thunder. Some stupid jerk trying to reach another number. Come on, since I've been without you, come on. Steady thinking about you, come on. Phone sounds like thunder. Some stupid jerk trying to reach another number. Just see. honey, and you belong to me, so come on.
I wanna see you, baby, come on.
I don't mean maybe, come on. I'm trying to make you see that I belong to you, and you belong to me, come on.
B-side from 1958, it's Chuck Berry and Come On. Dave Bublitz with you here on a Tuesday morning. It's 10:48. We're talking to my friend, Mr. Moses Street. So how are things going these days overall? Things doing well?
Really good, because you know, this is one thing people don't think about with celebrities or artists in general, is that you have good years, bad years. Well, I guess that's the human condition, but we're on a winning streak at the moment, and I'm getting lots of jobs, and Penn's career. Penn is my wife, for those people who don't know, and another fascinating conversation, because she is blind, but she has over the last 40 years done more than most sighted people have done. But anyway, I just had a really neat shoot down in Crested Butte, and I train my portrait shoots for the coming up times that they come back to me, so that they're like working with professional actors or models, and they're really easy to work with. But this family did it right. We did 2 days. And literally shot their portrait in snow, fog, rain, wind, and the shoot took place starting in Crested Butte all the way over to Glenwood and then over Trail Ridge Road. And so it's amazing.
I was going to say that it must have physically been a challenge, and also from a technical standpoint. But if everything comes out with those conditions, it would make the pictures just stand out that much more.
Yes,
I would think it would make them pop to the eye that much more.
Yes, and it's also, I mean, I've been doing this forever, but more focused on it now, that. You know, you always see these ads for portrait studios, an heirloom portrait, you know, and it's like, nobody's going to put that portrait up after you're gone because it's boring. And it's not an heirloom. But the reason this is the excuse me, hold on, coffee.
Oh, don't worry. I've been nursing my Bob and Tony's travel mug here, filled with water here, and I just every time I take a sip, I find myself going, "Damn it, it's just water."
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sorry. I digress.
Yeah. But the three basic reasons that you really like a picture of yourself or somebody you know. Is that one obvious? You have to like your face and your figure in the picture, but the most important of that is that if the event that was going on around the picture is a huge deal, that's what actually makes the picture important. And so for me, and this has been my whole career, generally the portrait sitting is far more memorable than the actual picture, because we create an adventure. So it's like, you know, photographing people in Rocky Mountain National Park or around Loveland, that is usually the biggest, one of the most fun things that people have ever done, which is totally contrary to most portrait sittings, where where it's like you've gone to the dentist and it does hurt, you know?
Well,
where,
I mean, think about, for me being a participant in the process and not being the photographer in this, I've had a chance now that I've had a chance to work with you. Most people think they're going to go to a photographer. They're thinking Olin Mills. They're going to go to a strip mall, and there's going to be a little Caesar's pizza next to it, and then you get to sit in a blank room, and then they're going to take your picture. Whereas the settings that you pick are wonderful. You realize that it is an artist at work behind the camera, and by taking those pictures in that setting, you provide a story to that picture.
Yeah,
which I think is cool.
Yeah,
instead of just, this is the one that we had done at our 50th wedding anniversary. During the storm in Telluride. When we shouldn't have been outside, when people begged us to come in because the National Weather Service came out and actually recommended that we come back in.
That's correct. Yeah, that's like this family. There were two kids who usually kids want to get out of a portrait shoot as fast as possible, and these kids went through and enjoyed 2 5-hour shoots over the 2 days. And then I also did a mix because as you know, I love funny pictures. And so because the fall color was spectacular over there, I've never seen it that good. Even after the snowstorm, the night in between, the color was still great. But anyway, one of the pictures I did when we were driving through a deserty looking thing is the whole family is crawling on their bellies across the desert with a water bottle. They're all trying to get to the water bottle first. And to me, that kind of family portrait, they may not put it on the wall, but that's going to be the picture that the kids want 20 years from now, you know, because it shows that their parents were human and funny, and it makes for a really good time.
That's the picture that the parents might not hang up, but the kids will when they're adults.
Yes. Yes. You
know, it'll be, what is this? Were you guys on the edition of Survivor? No, actually. This was us getting a portrait done. But when you said that you were able to be a child wrangler and corral the kids for 5 hours at a time, you've just added another title to your resume. You're not just a photographer. You're not just an artist. Hey, you're a magician. keeping kids in line for 5 hours and have them enjoy it. So, kudos.
Yeah, that's the trick, and the primary trick behind it is that if the portrait shoot is doing something that the kids are in control of in a positive way, and that they're doing something that they really like to do and want to do, they won't want to quit. It's like, you know, when you have a 3-year-old, you know, and you make the mistake of, throwing them up over your head, and they love it, and they keep going, do it again, do it again, do it again, until you're exhausted. It's kind of, the sittings are that way. You're doing something that the kids just don't want to stop.
Cool.
The parents,
the
parents usually quit before the kids do.
Well, first off, kids have more endurance. Stamina. Two, kids also have much more curiosity than grown-ups do. The human nature is curiosity, but grown-ups tend to lose that. But if you, like you said, you give them the
connection.
Oh, can you still hear me?
You're breaking up a bit.
Uh-oh. You know, I think this happened last time, too.
Uh-oh.
You sound clear as a bell.
Okay.
How about this? Why don't you, I don't know, all I can think of is the phone equivalent of rebooting. You want to hang up and call back?
Well, at the it seems to have passed. It seems we're okay now.
Okay.
But yeah, let's
all right.
do that. If it gets bad, we'll do that.
Okay. No, because it's funny. Because for some reason, I hate that when the conversation, the glitch in the phone call is only on one end. So the person on the other end is going, no, actually, Dave, I don't hear anything wrong. So maybe it's just the voices in your head. Have you had your dosage checked lately?
That's right.
One of the worst. You never. This is completely separate, and I don't know why I thought of this, but you know, if you ever run across somebody who has mental health problems, the best piece of advice to give them is let them know never to tell people that you have these problems, because the first thing they say is, so how are you doing? You get that tone right there. How are you doing? You know, and their first question is, are you taking your meds? No. I'm feeling batshit crazy.
That's right.
How about you? Are you taking yours? my mind tends to wander from time to time.
right.
Some of it wasn't the medication or the lack of it before. Some of it's just something wrong with Dave that we can't really find a cure for. Is it improper to answer if I were to ask you who was the or was just a pain in the ass to photograph?
Yeah, easy in that literally nobody was because it was generally well. Okay, I'll give one of the stories. I forget who I was working for, but it was a summer concert. 15,000 people in the audience, and it was the lineup was the Greg Allman Band, Arlo Guthrie, Jefferson Starship, all of my favorites. And Poco, which was disturbing for me because I knew they were really famous, but not to me. So that was easy. and Starship was great because it was like hanging out with a garage band, even though they were legends and icons and all that. They're just sitting around shooting the bull, but you know the way it is, like hanging around with all the Loveland performers. And but anyway, I was told and threatened, don't go near Greg Allman. And when you're doing a concert like that, they have kind of in that case, they had a catwalk that put me up above the audience. But my head's about the only thing above the stage. And you get the first three songs, and then you have to get out of the way too for the rest of the concert. So you got to get your stuff in those first three. But anyway, they said, because everybody was hanging out, you know, so it's like you're going, hey, Leon Russell, you know, how you doing? And shooting the bull with him. But they go, don't you go near Greg Allman. It's in his contract. Nobody talks to Greg Allman. Nobody goes near to Greg Allman. So, of course, while we're going along, all of a sudden somebody comes up to me and they go, you got to get over and photograph Greg Allman. And I go, I'm not going near that guy. I was threatened. I was told I'll never work in this town again if I go near Greg Allman. And they go, no. He's doing a picture with the mayor. And so I go, okay. So we're on the stage, invisible to the audience. And Greg Allman thought it was hysterical that the mayor of any town would want to align himself with Greg Allman because of his rock and roll reputation. And so he's cracking up through the whole shoot. Okay. and it was really fun, and it was really funny. And so that's over, then he's performing. So I'm out on the catwalk. And it evidently had cracked him up so much that, you know, he's one of the great rock and rollers, so he would really be into it, rocking away, and then he would see me there on the catwalk, and he would just crack up in mid-song. So I was lucky I was only there for the first three, so.
Well, no, that's because he excuse me. He strikes me as somebody just from a fan from the outside looking in. You don't want to piss him off.
No,
you know.
No.
Hey, it would be, you know, kind of the don't poke the bear, don't stand on, you know, don't kick the landmine, you know, whatever you want to say. But But
well,
amazing player, and just the, like you said, the irony having him next to Coat and Tie. Because I bet the mayor was in a.
Well, here we go again.
Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay. I'll move the phone. Maybe it just doesn't like that spot.
I tell you what. Why don't we do this? I'll hang up. I can call you. Are the last numbers of your phone 29?
Yeah.
Okay. That was me being subtle there. I hope you liked it.
Because
subtlety has never been my strong suit, unfortunately. I'm just writing this down as it's showing up here. There's something wrong. Okay, let's see. Okay, I'm going to hang up real quick, and I'm going to give you a call right back, and I'll talk to you here in just a minute, okay?
Perfect.
Okay.
See you then.
Moses Street. Let's go ahead and make it official. Mountain Standard. If you do not live in the mountain, it's your clock. According to 11 o'clock, we are interviewed today with Moses Street. We're having some technical difficulties, so I'm going to go and you got to give me a second here because I'm not good with the system. We're going to go ahead and dial this in. It shouldn't be that hard to dial a phone call. I feel like I'm on the Letterman show here because that was such a project for him to do. There we go. And we will get him on the line. That's fun talking to him. The Greg on the story cracked me up.
Okay.
Are you hearing me a little bit better? Are you? Can you hear me better?
Yeah. Copy. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, is that all it was? It was a biorhythm transfer act of caffeine. Okay. I believe that for some reason I picked 10 in the morning to do this on because I'm just – I sound half awake.
What's that?
I said I can't believe I picked. I was talking about lack of caffeine. I can't believe that I picked 10 a.m. to do this show because you got to get up about an hour or so before to do the prep work for it. And I was hoping, I said, do I sound at least half awake?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, it could be our voices in our heads again, but I think we're doing spectacular. It is one of the better shows.
No. I'm going to just go ahead. It's a really good show because I haven't even part of that hot here in the last. There's been some time away, so it wasn't uninterrupted. But this is the 1 year anniversary of when I started. So that's it. You're here
really?
For the anniversary show. Yeah, so that's kind of. And you were here, I think, at least once along the way. I think you were here on a show back in, because if I remember, we talked to each other. We did on the phone and on the radio, and you came out and saw one of the shows that I was doing out at the Western. I think. Something
right.
Like that.
Yeah. It's been one time. Yeah. And we got going with one of our conversations, and I think we ended up talking for 2 hours or an hour and a half.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I generally, for me, when it's just me here on the show by myself, it's kind of tough to feel more than 30 because I don't have anybody else off of. I genuinely like the interview process. I have no idea how good I am at it, but I like, you know, I'm a curious, with a lot of curiosity. But the best part about the show is we're take this to once a week, so there won't be so much pressure to come up with something every single day. Tell me what you think. Think about going Sunday and doing it in the afternoon, yeah, and then people can listen the rest of the week. What do you think?
This is maddening. You're breaking up again. Wait, I got a clear spot. It could be. Well, that's one of the new American things, is that these super expensive cell phones only work occasionally.
Well, no, what I was trying to tell, we were breaking up, it started out with, you know, shows I do are only about 35 minutes when I do it by myself. When I have a guest, I have it on, and for some reason, I feel like something on the show. After, so we were just able to go on and on, and we're still experiencing some technical difficulties with Moses Street. This is Dave Boop, the 12-hour radio show, about 10 after 11 o'clock here on Tuesday morning, episode 149. It sounds like we might have lost Moses altogether.
Nope, I'm here, but you're still breaking up a lot, so you want me to try calling you?
What the heck?
Okay. Well, maybe this way people get to listen to music more.
That's exactly what I'll, so, I'll go ahead. We were talking about music. I'll take a music break. You go ahead and give me a call back, and I'll talk to you. That's on the street, and he's going to give us a call back. He's talking about classic country music from McIntosh, individual. This is only classic country song on the queue. So let's go ahead and play this. It's Tearing Beer from Hank Williams. I'm above the radio.
Tearing my beer, cause I'm crying for you, dear. You are on my lonely mind. Into these last 9 beers, I have shed a million tears. You are on my lonely mind. I'm gonna keep drinking until I'm petrified. And then maybe these tears will leave my eyes. There's a tear in my beer. I'm crying for you, dear. You are on my lonely mind. Last night I walked the floor, and
that was the only classic country song that I have in my library. So, in case you were wondering why we were playing Tear in My Beer, I was not inviting you to go out and, you know, get wasted this afternoon. You know, I mean, if you got time, we could go out and do that, but we could probably find something more productive. It sounds like you can hear me a little bit better.
A lot, yes. And if it's okay, let me go back to the troubled stars. Is that I personally haven't had any horrible experience. But some stars are well known for being really difficult. And but to start it, two stars that at least in the tabloids everybody goes, oh, they're the bad boys, they're horrible. Billy Bob Thornton and Sean Penn. My experience was the absolute opposite. Those guys are the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. Really enjoyable, and Billy Bob Thornton in particular, because if he even, while we were together, if he even realized somebody had recognized him, he would go over to them, and then, because he would know they would want a photo and probably too embarrassed to ask, he would suggest doing a photo. He was amazing. And then Sean Penn is just a prince. And on and on. But anyway, one of the people with a bad off-screen reputation is Faye Dunaway. And I'm using her because I love Faye Dunaway. To me, she will always be Bonnie of Bonnie and Clyde.
I couldn't help it. I just saw her in the car sitting next to Warren Beatty in my head.
Yeah. Yeah, and she, for me, this is going way back, but she was just the coolest ever. But when you have a troubled star, everybody warns you, you know, treat with kid gloves. So anyway, I hear on my headpiece, okay, Faye Dunaway is coming to the theater. Is there a place for her to sit? And I, having a headpiece, I go, yeah, the place is packed, but there is a seat right next to me, and I'm in the back row. And so she comes in late and sits next to me, and I am, for me, it's like, who cares if she's trouble on screen? It was Faye friggin' Dunaway.
That's great.
And so I am sitting, and these seats were kind of tight, so we are sitting very close through this film, and I have no idea what movie it was. All I could do through the whole film was, I'm sitting next to Faye Dunaway. This is Faye Dunaway sitting next to me.
Well, there's a few women, you know, that may be, they're 15 years old again, and you know, God forbid you're like me when that happens. Suddenly, you know, I'm not able to talk at all. Dave,
that's right.
Michelle Pfeiffer, Dave. Not a pretty thing. But it was unfortunate with her because career was really pretty remarkable for a stretch. Bonnie and Clyde in Chinatown, and 3 Days of the Condor. Oh. She did the Joan Crawford film, and that was what poked the hole in the boat and sank things, I think.
Oh, I wonder if she was so good in it that a lot of people stopped liking her.
Well, I think I remember seeing the film. I hadn't seen her in a while because she was a little bit before me. But once you see her, she's like a Grace Kelly. She's like an Ingrid Bergman, because you look at her and she looks like she would be gorgeous with no makeup and jeans type of person. But no, she looks so gorgeous in these films, but I think what it was is that she'd taken some time away. And then when she came back and did Mommy Dearest, people kind of forgot how good she was in so many different things. That they just identified her in that, because that movie scared the hell out of me, Mommy Dearest.
I'll bet. Yeah. And she was so evil in that. Boy, you know, that could be. Because my theory was that when you've been really huge, because she was one of the top actresses of my generation, and then all of a sudden you're not getting movie roles, that definitely messes with your mind, you know?
Oh, yeah. And the longer that it goes on, the more it becomes that way. And then you have the other thing too. By that point, when Mommy Dearest is out, she's probably early 40s, maybe, I don't know, maybe mid 40s, but she's still, like you said, Frey friggin' Dunaway. She should have been making movies into her 60s, but I really do that age ceiling on women is still in existence, and it's an ugly thing.
And it's wrong. And two people proving it. I'm not going to be able to remember the show, but it's Lily Tomlin and Faye Dunaway, and it's something like Frankie and Johnny, something like that. And it's two women.
I know the film you're talking about, but I can't think of the exact name. But that's as good as any.
Yeah.
That really is impressive. Lily Tomlin. She hadn't been doing much. Quickly, and then all of a sudden, she's been very busy the last couple of years. She's great too.
Oh, she's unbelievable. She's unbelievable. Yeah, so, yeah. And this is it's about politics, but I've never met. No, old man moment. No, Jane Fonda is. I've never met her. But during the 60s with all the protesting and stuff, she was doing a sit-in down in Denver, and my brother went down and sat with her and visited for a whole day while they were protesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
She's a wonderful story when you think about it, because there's a woman, she hit 40, and she was politically vocal about things that weren't popular. She wasn't necessarily on the right side of things, the American, view. And yet she continued to be a big star all the way through the 70s and 80s.
Yes, yeah. Well, to me, she's like a Renaissance woman in that she was at the forefront. I mean, of so many things, and when you think about it, you know, for a person to be an icon of one thing, but to be an icon of like the 60s, an icon of the health generation and getting back into shape, and if you see her on that, it's on Netflix at least, she at 77 now, she plays a 70-year-old woman, and she's 77, and she has a better figure than the average 18-year-old, you know, and she's still doing the health thing, and then she got in, you know, with Ted Turner, so she was a media icon on that level. She with the guy she married who was, what was it, Jerry Brown? She was tied in with some activist. She has just been at the forefront of everything of our generation.
Yeah, I mean, she's some actors are remembered for a movie, a particular derailed them in the background or a defining moment. It's like you said, she owned the video format with her fitness workouts. She was an actress. She was an activist in her political cause, and she was out there in the forefront in everything that she did. She did not end well into the shadows. And I heard, you know, Netflix, you mentioned that she and Robert are filming a movie for Netflix, and they're doing it in Colorado, and they're looking for extras next month. They're filming here in the state, and the first they've worked together since, good Lord, Barefoot in the Park.
That's right, and they did the Electric Horseman.
It was a wonderful film because the number writer was the two of them, and it was basically just them, but it also had Will in it too.
Oh, I missed. I'm trying to translate the breakup. We do have the breakup again. But that would be fun to be part of that.
Oh, absolutely. Some people just seem like they would be fun to work with. Some people seem like it would be fun to just sit and talk with the opportunity. We're not going to have a chance here. We're running out of time. One of the questions that was who would you like to hang out and drink with? And you know, Jane Fonda would certainly be a fun one to hang out and talk with.
I think so. It was I'm trying to think of well, Sean Penn, I could hang out with him all the time. And again, Billy Bob Thornton. This was one which I think you've seen one of my photos was got to bring up Robin Williams, and he was doing the movie 1 Hour Photo, which was a really dark film. And so I knew the context of the film. So photographing him, I got a really dark, almost creepy portrait of him, and which turned out, I mean, who would have known? But I always love the picture because comedians frequently are really dark people. And Williams, though, what is so cool was he's only manic in the proper places. You know, he's not like that all the time. And comedians, as you would know, have the reputation that they can just be monsters, like Milton Berle and going back to the old guys that nobody cares about now, except
they
were geniuses.
But you think of the word comic and you think of the word narcissist.
But I've met a ton of people who've worked with Williams on all the films, and he just defies everything. The fact of, you know, being an ex-drug addict, being a comedian, all that, he should not be a wonderful person. But everybody said he is fantastic to work with. He's fantastic. You know, he's always nice. And then and my wife, Penn, will back that up in that they hit it off really good and actually hung out talking for quite a while, you know.
But,
and
I was just going to say, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead and finish, because I can't imagine that they wouldn't have hit it off. Your wife is wonderful to talk to. It would have been fun to have been a part of that conversation.
Yes, and it was really neat for her too, because where I get starstruck still, you know, you'd think I'd be over it, but Robin Williams is the only movie star that Penn would get really, you know, girlish and giggly around. Nobody else did she care like while I'm working. She met Adam. Oh, he's on The Voice, and he's got the rock band.
Oh,
and
Adam Levine.
Yeah. And he's spending about a half hour hitting on her, and Penn's with another woman. And after he leaves, Penn, of course, can't see him. And didn't know his voice at that time. Now it, when she hears his voice, she goes, "Oh, there's Adam Levine." But so after he's been trying to get her to go out for the last half hour, and he's left and given up, Penn turns to the other woman and she goes, "Who was that?"
That's great. That's great. It's too bad that story with a trail of breadcrumbs can't be traced all the way back to Adam Levine, because that would make him smile. That couldn't help but make him smile. Okay. Now I hate to be the one to say this, because I usually have the timer on, and there's not enough time to fill. Last time I set for 2 hours. For some reason I had to set for an hour and a half. We're coming down here to the last last 3 or 4 minutes here before we before I lose you. So I want to remind everybody, it's the Estes Park Library. It's going to be coming up on Monday at what time?
It will be at 7 o'clock, run to 8:30. And then if you saw my ad, in case you show up and I am just incredibly boring to you, there will be some other storytellers there who are probably really, really good. so you will have the option to walk away from me.
You are going to have them eating out of the palm of your hand. I am not too worried about that. It should be a lot of fun. Is there an admission charge for the event?
No.
Cool.
It's open to the public. It's a really neat. People should look up the Estes Park Library because it's a neat thing they're doing. Because you know, as you meet people, everybody has phenomenal stories from their life, even when they don't think so. And they're starting to bring people in, and I forget the catchy phrase they're using, but instead of borrowing a book, you're borrowing an actual person to get an audio story from. So it's a pretty neat program.
I like that a lot, and I think that's pretty cool. It's funny because a friend of mine asked me, you finally are getting guests, because I don't know if you've noticed that the last couple of months on the show, I haven't had anybody on, and then all this week, you know, there's somebody on, and he said, so Moses, what does he do? Is he, your name sounds like you're either a private detective or a musician.
That's right.
Or you're a saxophone private detective in a Raymond Chandler novel. I don't know. I told him that you were. He said, "Well, how does that work?" I said, "Well, I don't have tape." And I said, "No, I said it's just." Said everybody has great stories. You know, you've had a chance to be exposed to, you know, and you're very good at what you do, and you still enjoy doing it, and it's still your passion. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that you came. We've got about 60 seconds. I just had the voice in my head there. We've got 60 seconds left, so I don't know when. I hope I see you.
That sounds great, and the phone is quit. So if you can still hear me, I'll say goodbye.
I can still hear you perfect.
And thanks for having me on. And just because I have a clock in front of me, I still have 30 seconds, and I'm going to use every second of it. anyway, as usual.
All right, sir.
As usual. Really, really fun. Good talking.
All right, sir. Well, you take care. I'll talk to you here in a little bit. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Moses, photographer. My name is David Bublitz. Ordinarily, we talk about things we usually get to, but our show is taking up the interview with Moses. So we'll do those other here in the weeks and days to come. Keep that in mind. Be sure to tune in the rest of the week. Wednesday, tomorrow we've got M. Miller Richardson tomorrow, Vincent V. Hill on Thursday, and on Friday we've got musician, singer-songwriter Tim Burns. So it should be a good set of shows. So you guys take care. I will hopefully talk to you sometime soon here at the $12 Radio. So you guys take care. God bless. Let me find some music here to play on the way out of here. I'm not sure if you're going to get the music because I've left the live stream. I'm going to go ahead and leave this with one of my favorite songs. This is Ain't That a Shame from Cheap Trick on the $12 Radio Show.